gonna go buy a white Bronco next week.
When OJ died, it was so fucking funny because I was like,
I wish you would just end the sentence right there.
That would so be funny. It was just so fucking funny.
It's so great.
So it was like, haha. That was it.
I had nothing funny to say about it. I was just like, good.
I know. Everybody's like,
cool.
ESPN was like trying to twist it on that when it broke. Because I was watching First Take when the news
broke. They were
broke.
Really trying to twist that as like,
not twist it, but basically just like make it reporty and be like, well,
yeah.
The legacy he left behind is controversial.
CNN was live.
Killed a bitch.
Or not CNN. CBS was live about it for like an hour.
Yeah.
Just talking about everything in his career. But the murder. It was like former athlete, actor, right. and acquitted and like accused murderer. It's like, okay, one of those should be first, and it's not athlete or actor.
Well, it's funny to me. It's just like the fact that they shouldn't even report on it.
No. Just let him be dead.
Let him be dead.
Let him be dead.
Same thing with when Charles Manson died in prison. Everyone was like, Charles Manson's dead. And I was like, and?
Yeah, like,
we knew that was going to happen eventually. Yeah,
I'm surprised. I thought he already was. I didn't know he was still alive.
It's just a weird thing. And I was like, all right, cool.
I didn't know what everybody was talking about at first when everybody was posting shit.
Orange juice died?
What the fuck are they talking about? I was seeing people pouring out, like, the meme of, like, pouring out the orange juice in the grass and shit. And I was like, what the fuck is everyone talking about? And then I Googled it.
Brad Williams, best joke to come out of OJ dying. He said, at least OJ can rest knowing that his wife's killer is now dead.
That's what made me go. I was like, wait, did OJ die? Because at first I didn't get it. I was like, what the fuck?
He did it that night. He had a show that night somewhere, and he did that joke.
Well, did you see the part where he then said, he's like, within an hour, everyone was making memes and tweeting it and not crediting me.
See, I'm also wondering if
then he made that into a joke.
Yeah, it was great.
I forget, yeah.
I don't know. That was so soon that I could see somebody else tweeting that. It just never took off.
Oh, sure.
I don't know. It was very...
He got it. I mean...
It was like in his draft.
It was one of the first tweets I saw.
I wonder if he just had that like loaded in the chamber for when the day came. But yeah, then later he was like, yeah, imagine like getting a... And, you know, I said, hey, these guys stole my joke. And Facebook was like, nah, man, we're not taking it. I was like, man, can you imagine getting accused of something and getting away with it?
Yeah, that was
like, I can count on one hand the number of times I've had good sex, and most of those times were with that one hand.
I used heroin for 2 years early on in my adulthood. I only abused it for 1 year, though. First year was awesome.
I have a dream catcher hanging above my bed. It's just a picture of my future children. Because once you have kids, your dreams don't matter anymore.
Is Trump fell asleep during his jury selection today?
Are you really surprised?
No. But also, in his defense, you never sat through it. Well, you've been through a trial. You're boring as fuck.
Low burn.
It's easy to stay awake when all yours. That time is about to land on your fucking dick.
That's true. Well, he got to remember, he still doesn't think he's going to get in trouble. He still thinks he's going to get away with it.
Well, I wish I was that delusional.
Is this the criminal trial?
Yeah. They're doing jury selection in New
York. For what?
This is the...
How much time could he get?
I don't remember. This is the one that can wind up with him being barred from doing business in New York, I think, isn't it? Because Gus from Barrel House posted about that. And I was like, no, he didn't. And I Googled it. And they were like, yeah, no, he fucking did.
That's fucking funny.
New York Times. A weary Trump appears to doze off in courtroom ahead of criminal trial. This is his hush money trial in Manhattan, is what it is.
He's not going to get
for the Lightning Daniels.
This is the
Thunder.
Stormy. There we go. Daniels. There we go. Yeah, they're doing the jury selection and all that.
I did that on Lightning Daniels.
Lightning Daniels. Well,
Lightning McQueen. What? He fucked Lightning McQueen?
Wouldn't you?
What was that porn star's name? Hurricane Chris?
Chris.
Speedway Tornado? No, Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels. That's right. That's right.
Gum guzzling.
Trying to see if you can tell me. Okay. Okay. The charges carry a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison. He's not going to do time. People have done less time for more.
Yeah, I stole less than $200 and did 4 years for it.
He's not going to do a fucking day. He's going to be, if at most, he'll be on probation.
But
maybe house arrest.
House arrest. Imagine.
They never had to worry about me not showing up for court because I was already in their jail. They wouldn't even let me out for that part.
You weren't going anywhere.
They were like, do you have $75,000? I'm like, no.
No.
All right.
If I did,
here's a peanut butter sandwich.
If you had $75,000, I wouldn't need to rob that McDonald's.
That's true. That's true.
Motherfucker, do you know what got me in here? That's the dumbest.
Did you see the amount of my restitution?
I could sell both my kidneys and still be $5,000 short.
I was watching Mike and Molly with my mom, and it was, my train of thought just went away. It's gone. Nope, forget it. Oh,
yeah,
I got it.
Mike and Molly with your mom.
I brought it back there. Okay. The sister's dating this like homeless looking dude, and she's like, he might be a thief. She's like, he's not a thief. How do you know? He doesn't have anything. If he was a thief, he'd have all kinds of shit. I was like, that's
true.
It's a good argument, valid actually.
It's a very good point.
At least if they're a bum, at least you know they're not a criminal. Like, they're just a bum. Like,
right. He's just,
if they were a criminal, they'd have more shit.
Exactly. Or he's just a really bad one.
There's more honor in standing on the corner with a sign than there is like stealing from people,
I guess.
Unless, I mean, it depends who you're stealing from. Walmart. Pff, yeah. I haven't paid for deodorant since I got out of prison.
Nice.
I don't know. When I used to work at the Walmart in South Carolina, we had like the same four people that would rotate on our corner, like asking for money in the parking lot. But then you'd see them at like another Walmart, like on the other side of town. And it's like, you drove here. There's no way you didn't.
Going on tour.
Yeah.
Nah, bro.
Doesn't Kemper have a joke about that?
I think so,
nah,
yeah.
Nah, bro, I took this dragon and flew. Dragon's like, and they fly away. You're like,
chase the dragon all the way here.
Just have the dragon lay eggs. You wouldn't have to ask for money.
No, they don't go that well in a farmer's market. Nobody believes there were dragon eggs. Bullshit. You I saw fresh dragon eggs, but they're like, those aren't real dragon eggs. That's just a fucking volleyball combined with a fucking sandbag. And they're like, no, that's a dragon egg. I'm like, that is not a dragon egg. And they're like, no, that's a dragon egg. I'm like, prove it. And so what I do is I shove it up my ass. And it's not a dragon egg.
It's just Wilson. You painted it green.
How are we
yellow.
Back on dragons and stuff going up asses? We went there last week, too. But I also feel like if you have a dragon and you're a homeless guy, dragons have hordes of gold. I'm letting out my nerd card here a little early.
Yeah, but gold doesn't mean anything nowadays. It really it's not doesn't. Bitcoin. It doesn't matter. I gotta have a dragon full of Bitcoin. Can you imagine if like dragons came back and they're like, oh, I got gold. I'm like, nah. It's crypto, bro.
Did you say dragons came back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brother, they back. Never
those
existed.
Those Komodo dragons. Shut the fuck
that's
up.
That's true. Those things are fucking deadly.
And bearded dragons.
That's true. There's two of them right there.
And then
I'm right here.
And grand, nope.
Grand wizards. That's...
I made it. When I was in high school, when I was first doing stand-up, when history class, we were doing a class about like the history of the Klan and stuff like that. And they thought, yeah, they call themselves grand wizards and they call themselves dragons. And I, out of the back of my head, just went, man, it's gotta be like a nerd's paradise,
right?
And some fucking like nerdy guy on the other side of the room was like, I take a lot of offense to that. And I was like, yeah, no, actually you should. That, yeah,
hated grand it. Wizard, where do I sign up?
Hated it as soon as I
cool hoods, bleach white hoods,
magic,
so fresh,
and cast Matt Hant with hobbits.
This is what? And then you get to a meeting and
but no
like,
dark magic,
no dark magic.
Get to the meeting, they're like, we hate blacks. And they're like, yes, I hate black magic. And they're like, no, black people.
Oh.
I'm like, whoa.
Oh, I don't have a problem
the
with
shadow
that.
Realm?
God, I bought this cloak from a black guy. Like, hey, if you'd like to be an honorary Mike and be a part of the Three Mics in a whole different way, head on over to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/the3mics. That's patreon.com/the3mics. We've got a single $5 tier that gets you access to the whole shebang. Everything that we're going to start rolling out, whether it's live streams, uncut episodes, exclusive tickets and other stuff like that. Who the hell knows what we're gonna do? But it's simple. $5 a month gets you in as an honorary mic and hanging out with the Three Mics over on Patreon. Once again, go to patreon.com/the3mics and become an honorary mic today.
Real quick announcement of the Dayton comedy scene. At the Jokes and Tokes Comedy Club at 460 Patterson Road. New mic alert. First and third Wednesdays at 8 p.m.
at Hell yeah.
Jokes and Tokes. Hosted by Nick Osman and Darren Jenkins.
Fuck yeah.
I'm tired.
You, I can tell. I can tell you're
tired. I stayed up watching the Reds game last night. I'm going to stay up watching it in the night.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I'm going to bed as soon as you guys leave.
It's fucking at 9:40.
Last night was not worth staying up to watch.
I still watch it. I'm there for my team. I'm a fan, motherfuckers. I started buying baseball cards again.
I saw that.
And
what
beating
the?
My wife.
I was gonna say. I didn't realize the marriage was going badly.
Well, no. Yeah. I mean, it's bad. no, like I used to buy baseball cards like 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, really?
I used to go to baseball card shops and just
I didn't know you
find were. Like old baseball cards.
Really?
And I was like,
were you going to get yours, Mavericks?
No, I just it was the place in the mall. A couple places. One place shut down.
I bet now.
Oh, now I just go to Mavericks.
I was gonna say
I bought a Julio Rodriguez rookie card there, and I bought a whole. I've always wanted to buy a box of cards, like a whole like box. So I ended up buying a box and a Shohei Ohtani. Because I don't know if you've opened up cards like this is so fucking nerdy.
I've never bought a baseball
card.
When you
open
in
a pack of cards, it'll have like it'll show you who it like if it's like a rare card, it'll be like Shohei Ohtani on the back on the backside. And I was like, fuck, I got Shohei Ohtani auto. Was a Shohei Ohtani like used memorabilia like inside the card? It'd have been so much better if it was fucking.
I only read one baseball card in my life. It was a Manny Ramirez card. My mom got me for my birthday one year because he was my favorite player, and I played right field at the time. So
I don't know. I was looking at the Nolan Ryan cards I had because I was just like, I'll see how much they're worth now. And like each worth like over $250. I bought them for total like $20-something. I was like, when I saw them in there, I was going through it. I was like. 15 years ago, I was like, why are these in here? These are from the 70s. And they're in good shape, too. I was like, I'll take these, please.
Just pulling shit out.
And my wife's like, you ever going to sell? I'm just like, no, they're going to be miles. Like,
that's what I do when I go to comic book Comic-Con over at the convention center, the Gem City one. I just go there to raid the 50-cent and dollar comic book bins.
Well,
pad out my collections.
It was Ellie that got me back into collecting cards again. So I really wanted his rookie card. And I was like, oh, okay.
Did you get it?
Yeah, I pulled one of his rookie cards, and I bought his Bowman Chrome. They're like, there's something called Bowman First, which is their first card ever. So I'm spending like $9 on eBay to get that.
That'd be worth something.
If he becomes something.
Yeah. So shit, I like, dude, the way he's been playing this season.
Well, the thing was, like, I was looking at my old cards, and like I was thinking in my head, and I was like, at the time, I had like... I'd literally say like 20 or 30 Freddie Freeman rookie cards.
Damn.
From like Bowman Chrome, Bowman Platinum, Tops, like all of them. And I was like, I kept on thinking, man, I came against fucking Freddie Freeman card. I want Jason Hayward because they both came up at the same time. And Lex just had the better career.
They came up at the same time?
Within a year. Years, 1 year, next year. Hayward came first, then Freeman.
And I do feel like Hayward had his prime before Freeman did.
He had an okay career, but Freeman's a Hall of Famer.
Freeman, wow.
And I have so many Freeman and so many busty.
Because Hayward was like, he was prominent. And he was all right. Well, yeah. Yeah,
he was just a good career. Nothing spectacular. Andrew McCutcheon's been better than Jason Hayward.
Yeah. Yeah, overall.
But
I guess back in like, what, like 20?
His first 2 years were great.
Which his rookie season was 06?
10.
10. Wow. That's later than I thought.
But in my head, I'm thinking, I kept on pulling fucking Hayward. And I'm like, Freeman, I get Freeman. And like, because like sometimes you can still get rookie cards the next year for the guy. Rosie. Freeman. Every time I was like, fuck, why? I keep on getting Freeman. And now I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, I have so many of them. That and Buster Posey.
You can shoot her down if she's.
Oh, no. This is great clips.
Okay.
Rosie, where you going, girl?
But like all
goes over to the allergic guy.
All my fucking like.
Hope you took a Benadryl.
All my fucking cards I thought would be worth stuff, like signature wise, aren't. Like I have an Andrew McCutcheon signed card. It's good. I have an Alex Rodriguez like memorabilia card. But like I had a Jose Fernandez card signed. He's the one that died in that boating accident, which I thought would. He was gonna be a Hall of Famer. Jesus Montero. Was a fucking catcher.
Did your floor just move? Oh, no, you got to step. This thing's fucking.
Yeah. Jesus like, Montero was going to be was the next big catcher for the Yankees, and yeah, I'm getting traded in the pop with Roids 3 times. Those are like my 2 ones. I'm like, hold on to these forever. No, I don't. It's my life. But yeah.
pretty sure Shay is taking a dump.
Be fucking hilarious. The kid, the cat just slit my throat. They even make a noise. Fucking dead 5 seconds. Did you see that play Ellie made last night?
Yeah, the one. Do you think the left fielder would have got that?
No,
if he didn't see?
That's a no man's land.
I thought it was really impressive the ground he covered, because he covered way more ground than the third baseman or left fielder would have had to cover if they would have went for it. But he was still the only one out of those three who can make that play, and I think that's the most impressive part of it.
That's the most impressive part. Once Steer, if Steer is faster, he would have caught it. But Steer's average speed, a little bit above average. Ellie is the hardest angle. He has the furthest to go, but he has the most speed. So it's kind of like...
And to know that in real time, to know that, like...
Candelario, that's just a hard play over the shoulder. Yeah. So, I mean, like, he is least likely to catch that. But I was like, God damn. Like, my motherfucker came out of nowhere. Nowhere. They better win tonight. I swear to God.
They should.
Seattle's...
They came off a sweep. You couldn't... I mean, it's hard to expect them to take game one of the next series after they just swept.
No,
plus, they haven't had a day off in fucking week, like a couple weeks.
But it's just one of those things. Well, Seattle's really good pitching. That's the problem. Everybody's like, it's how much I hate Reds fans group. They're like, how we lose a guy that had an 8.6 ERA? I was like, do you realize the past 3 years that guy's been like in Cy Young talks? But like, you fucking idiots.
What's his career ERA?
Yeah.
It's nowhere close to that.
Like, yeah, his career ERA is like
he's had three starts. Like, yeah. You can't. An 8.6 ERA off three starts is not a tell.
It cracks me up. Because I'm like, you fucking...
I hate the fandom. Like when they were like, oh, Ellie can't hit. We need to fucking trade him. We need to bench him, send him down to Louisville. Like, dude, at that point, we were like 7 games in. Like, give him some time. And sure as shit, 4 home runs in 4 games.
Yeah, and then, like...
making crazy good plays inside the park, fucking home run.
Fucking... Oh, God, it cracks me up. And I literally keep on, I don't know if you saw me post, but I was like, oh, you guys going to blame Ellie for this win?
Right.
They blame Ellie for all his losses. Blame Ellie. And then crickets. Always crickets. Like, it just cracks me up. Fucking crack. That was whispering to me.
Nope, that's just
I don't have any
wheezy
sports
little...
to talk about, so you can end the sports talk.
No, there's like nothing really going on. WNBA draft was on.
I saw what's her name got. Is
number one overall.
Yeah,
Caitlin Clark. I mean,
she makes as much as an accountant. I mean, that's not even a joke.
No, it's not. They make so little money.
Like
accountants or WNBA.
Yes.
It says a lot about accounting.
Right.
Like, damn. You can't even ball.
I think that WNBA is going to start paying people better.
No.
Especially with her.
They're going to have to start because they haven't had somebody as big a star as her.
I don't think
WNBA
it's going to matter.
I don't know, man.
They've already confirmed that 30 of her 48 games are going to be nationally broadcasted.
Yeah, I just don't think anybody's going to watch. For example, they'll watch, you'll get like a week or two, right? Because they'll be hyped. But if she doesn't perform up to expectations, you're not going to have people watch.
No, I think it's win-win. I think even if she does poorly, it's just going to cause the conversation of like, oh, she sucks.
The hardest sell is going to fall from a purely industry standpoint is going to fall with advertising. Like, what? Because WNBA games don't usually get televised, and then when they do, the advertising dollars are really small. So it's going to depend on whether
she's
or not.
She's changing all of
so
it.
So that's what I'm saying is, like, if she can pull enough
and the thing,
advertising interest, yes. If not, probably not.
And the thing is, too, is, like, it's kind of like everybody's just as good as you. You got to prove that you're better. So that's why I don't think she's going to be that great.
So then I guess if she's not, if you're saying that, then why does everybody make such a big deal about her if you don't think she's as good as everybody else?
Huh? And the WNBA?
WNBA is just different.
Yeah.
She crossed in college, and she's
just
not
very
big.
Oh, yeah.
If she averages 12 a game, that's a successful season.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant, like, people, like, in her class
she
or whatever.
She should have destroyed everybody in her class. Like, you're playing sophomores and juniors, and you're playing your fourth year senior.
Yeah.
Like, you should crush.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from her. She's fantastic, but, like, it's different. Like, it. Like I compared it to when Greg Oden got drafted, everybody's like, oh, who should take, Greg Oden or Kevin Durant? Mm-hmm. In my head, I was thinking, when you look at Greg Oden, like, the only reason he was dominant in college is because he was a little bit stronger than everybody else. He was bigger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go to the NBA. Everybody's just as strong as big as you. I'm sorry. Like,
he had no durability whatsoever.
And then he got hurt. But, like, he wouldn't have done anything. It's just everybody's stronger and bigger than you. It just, that's the same thing. She can shoot, but, like, you're going to people that are just as well defensively, mm-hmm. if not better than. I don't think it. Nobody's.
I just think that either way, if she does poorly, it's going to generate viewers, it's all the doubters.
You'll get a couple weeks, but it's not going
to. It's gonna have to have staying power for it to really make a difference.
Yeah,
I really hope to God it does.
She's already guaranteed 30 games that are gonna be on between ESPN, TNT.
Oh yeah, no, she's guaranteed to get the games, but it's gonna be.
How's viewership after?
When you look at what the actual viewership numbers are, when everything is all said and done, are they gonna be able to look back on it and say, okay, we got a huge return on investment from her? Let's boost the pay. It's going to be a wait. It's going to be a wait and see game. It's what it's always going to be with something like
that. I think the entire framework of women's sports is in the trending in the very high direction very quickly.
Let me put it this way: that's what they've always said the reason is why women's sports is underpaid is because the advertising is not there. Now if the viewer numbers are suddenly there and they still say they're not going to do it, well, then it's the other underlying issue that we all know it really is. But
the thing is, like, are they going to get viewership? Yeah, they're going to get higher viewership for the time being. But everybody's going to be like, oh. Because a lot of people that got in the hurt weren't in the WNBA, so they have no idea what the fuck's going to happen.
Because my next question is, where do they – because I know sometimes it airs on ABC. I don't know where else it airs outside of ESPN.
I don't like fundamentals.
ESPN, TNT, TBS.
I don't watch
I don't watch sports.
So I don't like fundamental basketball, so I don't watch the San Antonio Spurs, and I do not watch the WNBA because it's too fundamental for me.
Gotcha.
Here's another point why I think the WNBA is going to explode and become tenfold better than it ever has been before. LeBron James is about to retire, and there's nobody who is in. Because, all right, Magic, Larry Bird, even before that, you can go Kareem, Wilt. Like, no, what I'm saying is that there's always been that person in the NBA, right? Starting Wilt and Bill Russell and Kareem Abdul and then Magic and Larry and then Michael Jordan with the Bad Boy Pistons and then straight into Kobe and LeBron. LeBron's about to retire. There's nobody anywhere close to that caliber.
I'm trying to think
who's
even the closest.
Anthony Edwards, maybe. Victor Wembanyama, maybe.
No, Victor.
But American players. We're reaching the point where it's all the foreign players, and that's not going to
generate
very much
income for
America.
The only person I
think
would be Luka or Victor.
Foreign players.
Yeah, and Luke, they're both foreign.
Nikola Jokic, foreign player. Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum.
Jokic hates basketball, so he doesn't matter.
I know. When we come to the face of the NBA, there will not be one. Oh. If it's Anthony Edwards, I...
Because your face would have been Steph Curry, but he's at the end of his career, too.
Exactly. LeBron
Giannis
and Steph are done.
Giannis is not the face. He's also foreign.
He's also foreign.
Jason Tatum.
That's it. Jason Tatum and Anthony Edwards is the only two that I can
think of. I think Anthony Edwards is that good.
You don't think he's that good?
He's good, but.
Well, my point exactly. Like, he's a great player, but, like, is he anywhere close to Kobe, Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul?
There's nobody like that in the NBA right now. Luka's the closest, talent-wise.
And he's from fucking whatever, Slovakia or wherever the fuck he's from.
Yeah, it's weird to think about.
American basketball is going to I'm not saying that the WNBA is going to be more prominent than the NBA, but the viewers of the NBA are going to lose with LeBron and Steph retiring. They still want to watch sports. They still want to watch American players do well. Mm-hmm. And it's not even just Caitlin. Angel Reese and another, I forget the name of the third player. There were two people that got drafted in the top 10, third and ninth, on the same team. They're going to be playing together.
Jesus.
So, like, WNBA is going to generate more viewers, I think.
Yeah. Or this could happen.
And at the top of the second half, it's 16-9. Easton leads the scoring with 4.
And that's why she commands $7,000 a year. These gals sure do make it look difficult.
But is having this minor skill worth being so unattractive? That's for the fan to decide.
Yay!
The fan. That's my favorite part of that. The fan to the side.
That is, without a doubt, one of my absolute favorite Family Guy bits.
Although Bill Burr's bit about it is pretty fucking
funny. It's pretty good. Have you seen his?
Yeah. Yeah. His Red Rock special.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things, man. It's just.
That's why she commands almost $7,000 a year.
It's just one of those things. People got excited because it was the cool thing to watch.
Well, because it was almost like being it's like being an indie music fan. It's like, yeah, like show you fucking cat.
His cat just fucking knocked everything over. That's why I don't talk shit about women's sports.
Thank you so much for listening to the Three Mics podcast or watching it on YouTube, wherever you're getting this show. If you are watching it on YouTube, please be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and turn on the notification bell. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast app, be sure to leave a like or a rating or whatever you can do, wherever you're listening to it. And as always, be sure to go to our website, www.thethreemics.com, to get all the information you need on what's going on with us. And where you can see us next.
Touching dicks.
Touching, that's the first thing on the recording. All right.
I kind of figured that's all you
off,
hit the button.
Off to a flying start. That Keenan show was something.
Oh, how was that?
Big crowd.
Big crowds.
I had a big
crowd. How many comics are on each show?
20 plus.
Yeah, there were 20.
How long did the show last?
2 hours plus.
Oh my God, I'd kill myself.
It was rough. It was pretty, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I didn't stay for the second show. The first show was chaos, but it was a lot of fun. Like, room was packed. All but, like, two comics did really well. Honestly, the only two that struggled were Caleb and what's that Cash App chick.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. I don't know.
Who?
Her actual stage name is, I forget what her first name is, but her last. And she goes by something Cash App on stage.
Stephanie,
there we go.
Don't know who the fuck that is.
I had never met her before. She struggled and Caleb struggled. But she was towards the end, so I think people were just tired.
That's exactly what happened. Dude, like Mark Perkins bombed with some of his best stuff, but it's because he was towards the end of the list.
You guys went longer than we did.
Oh, yeah.
We were done by 9.
Well, we got started late, too.
So did we. We got ahead of schedule somehow. I think it's because nobody was doing full 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Almost everybody got off before their time was up because they were like, I'm not
fucking 4 minutes.
They told us like the day or two before we only got 4 minutes. Yeah. They originally told us 5 to 7, and then they told us 4. And I emailed them back because I wasn't sure that was correct because I had a lot of errors with my previous emails. And I said, hey, was it 4? Because your original email said 5. And they said, yeah, we want you to do 4, but bring 10 just in case. I was like, that is a huge window. Hmm. But, like I said, other than two comics, pretty much everybody went up and just...
What was the point of this thing?
I don't know.
Just to make tickets.
To make money. It was just for them.
I mean, I do believe that they... Like, the guy that was hosting it, genuinely, he came through the show.
Yeah.
And that's how he got the gig of going around and hosting it. So, like, I mean, the opportunities are there, but out of 40 people, how many...
Yeah.
I think they are paying attention. I really do think they're looking for funny people.
But if you're telling me out of the last one, they only picked one dude and the only thing he got was a trip to go see SNL, which anybody can do, and then he's got to go host a bunch of what are basically high-class open mics. Like, I get that he's getting to tour around and host, but it's like...
What's the point?
What? But, like, that's not... I don't know.
I wonder how much he's making.
I do. Dude, I wonder. But it just... I don't know.
Both shows, they sold almost 200 tickets.
Yeah. And, like, aside from the fact that it was very much run by an amateur or an intern from a behind the scenes, because we never met whoever it was that was emailing us. No one from the actual show, other than the host, was there.
That's so fucking weird.
And, well, and they...
Does Keenan know this?
I don't know, and they also kind of fucked up Erica a little bit, too, because the lists they gave her were not accurate. Because there were comics that they had on the 7 o'clock list that thought they were on the 9 o'clock show, and vice... Like, they had me on the 9 o'clock list, but my flyer said 7. They had Nick on the 7 o'clock list, but his flyer said 9.
Yeah.
And we were not the only ones. So somehow...
I think other than there being a shit ton of comics and it being, like, oversaturated with performers...
Yeah.
I think it's a good show. It's because...
It was a great
anybody
show.
Anybody could sign up. It's not like they were handpicking, like, their favorites in the area. Like, dude, anybody that got to sign up, signed up. I gave up at one point on signing up. I saw, like, Wyatt and Kemper and all those guys, like, get there first. And I was like, not a chance I'm getting on this. I gave up. And I still, at the last minute, I signed up and got on. So it was a good opportunity for a lot of newer comics. Yeah. They got to show off their... Like, Nick Osman fucking annihilated, dude. Yeah. He did so good.
I went up and did probably the best 4... And now, granted, it was 4 minutes that I have done... a lot. Like, I did nothing even remotely new in those 4 minutes. Yeah, I did my fireworks set minus one joke. But it was, I mean, it was nice to tell jokes to a packed out room and have them all laugh hysterically. Like, I'm not going to sit here and act like the show wasn't a lot of fun. It was just chaotic.
When it boiled down to it, that's all that mattered to me. Yeah. I got to perform in front of the biggest Wiley's crowd I've ever performed in front of.
Well, I texted you. I was like, if anything, this is a testament to the people of Dayton of like, see what happens when you guys just show up to a fucking literally local comedy show. You have a good fucking time. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, all the comics were also on their fucking A game, and you can't guarantee that every single show. But it's like, hey, if every comic just didn't, because I understand some weeks you just want to fucking phone it in. I get it. As a comic, some weeks you're like, I'm not feeling it. I'm just going to go up and do my thing and get the fuck out of here. Everybody went up, did the best damn job they could. Everybody who was there to watch was there to watch and have a good fucking time and be supportive. And I'm like, cool. Can we do that all the time? When the tickets are cheaper?
This might sound arrogant, and I don't mean it to sound arrogant, but the material that I've worked hard on, that I've polished up, that I've done hundreds of times at open mics, if there is, at Wiley's, for instance, because I do the Sunday show all the time, if there's more than 30 people in that audience, I've never, like, ate a dick. I've never, like, full-blown bombed with my good material. Never.
Yeah. I've had shows that were less than others, but I've never, like...
I either crush or I do solid.
Yeah.
And compared to, like, the other comics, like, the people that never do comedy, that are doing it just as a joke to their friends, like, obviously they eat dicks, and then I go up after them and do pretty well because I'm taking it seriously. That, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're right. If more people would come out to these shows, like, we would all have way more crushes under our
I think we would also force everyone to become better writers, too. Yeah. I think it would force people to try harder and not just coast. Myself included. It includes everybody. Like... It's just extra. If we know going to a show, people are going to be there to watch and give a shit, we're more inclined to try harder.
Yeah.
Definitely.
The worst thing is like where you get super pumped for a show and it's out of town and there's like nobody there.
Oh, you mean like the last three times I went to Caravan?
Oh, really?
The last three times I went to Caravan, the last time we went was the one where Vander headlined and it was all comics. Yeah.
Comics. And then I had one friend that lived in Louisville who brought her friend.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are other maybe seven crowd members.
As opposed to the first time I went when it was packed. Mm. So.
But even then, you did well that night.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, a small crowd, but like, you still did well. Yeah.
Only time nowadays I bomb is when I'm trying new shit and I'm like, okay, that's not funny. So. Mm. I'm not mad. I don't regret doing it. It's just like, it was clearly a money grab that can it have potential? Sure. I
hope it did really well for Erica.
I hope it did. I hope the club made some money.
Yeah, I hope they made a shit ton of money. Which I believe they
was.
Did. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
She was ripping her hair out that night.
I was surprised there weren't more like shitty like crowd members like heckling and.
They only had to throw out one couple. And it was
hysterical.
They had to throw out a couple. They had to throw out a couple during the first show.
I've heard about that. But somebody else has been finger banging a different show.
And it was a friend of fuck, who was it?
You might as well not say
it. No, I'm not going to say. But anyway, it was a friend of one of the comics who we were all roasting that night. And, because it was funny. And they came out after getting thrown out. And, like, her pants were still very much, like, undone. You could tell they just got done fighting with Erica. And he goes and high-fives his buddy with that fucking hand. And we all backed away. Like, no, go wash your fucking hands, dude. But yeah, they were
that fucking
nail juice all over me.
Yeah. Not going to lie, that fucking rules, dude. Well, finger banging a girl at a comedy club,
and then I had to fucking Karen on some comics, and I'm not happy about it. But they were being.
Oh, we didn't have a choice. The second show, they were seating people upstairs, like in.
Oh back. Yeah,
like one half. Was
I knew
all,
they were going to. I knew.
So
they
yeah,
were
we
going
didn't have
to.
A choice, dude. Erica came up and was like, "You guys need to shut the fuck."
Well, it's
up.
Because during the first show, there were a couple out of town comics there who were sitting off in the corner I usually sit on up top, and would not shut the fuck up. And there were people sitting down right on the other side of there. And Johnny's sitting right there trying to film the sets. And we're sitting there going, can you guys just shut up? The camera's
big. Who was it?
I never met the guys before. Yeah. I did not know who they were. They were from out of town. Like, you're being disruptive. You're the comics. Shut up. And then later when I was leaving again, going outside to meet you, Vander, a bunch of them were in the lobby. And they were just shouting and carrying on as I opened the door. And I'm like, guys, show going on. Shut up. And they're like, everybody got to be quiet. Mike Shea said to be quiet. I'm like, no. I'm not the weird one here. I'm not the jackass for telling you to shut up during a show.